take a look at your notes. Today, the title of my sermon is, Don't Know What You Got Until It's Gone. Gone, 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 gone. Well, I'd like to start off by reading the scripture. The main scripture today is in Psalm 103. It's in your notes. Can you just take a look and follow along with me as I read? It says here, Praise the Lord, my soul. In the New King James Version, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's like the song we sang. So, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire to do good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor He will harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And it flays, remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, His angels, His mighty ones, who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all ye heavenly hosts, you His servants, who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. And you know, when you say, bless the Lord of my soul, I mean, you know, it gotta come from your gut. It gotta come from here. And you say, bless the Lord of my soul. You know, you need it when it comes from here. Because some people say, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, bless you. You know what? God, He wants it to come from Him within your belly. Because, you know, your soul comprises of your mind, your will, and emotions. If you love God that much, why would you just say, oh, praise the Lord? No, you say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Say it that you mean it. Because God is alive in you. He's alive in you. And as you let the Holy Presence of God just take over of you, know, He's going to fill us up even more, overflowing of His goodness. You know, in the 1970s, there was this popular song called The Big Yellow Taxi. And it was sung by this singer named Joni Mitchell. You guys remember that song? No, you're not old enough, you know, maybe, but I remember that song, but you know, in the chorus, there was a memorable line. I think when I sing it, you're going to know. I'm not going to sing it, I'm going to sing the lyrics to you. You don't want me to sing it. It said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. You don't know what that sounds like? Okay, there it is. Put up a parking lot. I think I know that song in my mind. But, you know, basically the song is about the fact that there was once a place of great beauty. There might have been a lot of trees, a lot of great looking flowers and all that. And now they knocked it all down and put up a hotel and parking lots. But you've got to think about it. That lyric, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Isn't that true? Sometimes you don't know what you got until it's no more in existence. It's taken away. Then you kind of start longing for it. Hey, what happened? I want it now. And you got to realize there's so much in our lives as Americans that we take for granted. Because you know what? When we go home after this service, you know, for me, I can go to my house, I can turn on a light. Will the light go on? Yeah, more than likely. It will, right? I know it will. Unless the bar goes out. You know, I can open my refrigerator and there are all kinds of food because, you know, me and John Lee, we pick the foods that we like and what the kids like, and we get to eat the things that we want to eat and drink the things we want to drink. We know we'll be satisfied. You know, we get home from work, I can just step into my shower. shower. I can turn on the hot water. Sometimes I just stand in that hot shower for like 15, 20 minutes and just let it just ease me. Let me just get relaxed in that hot shower. And then I can put on my favorite t-shirt and shorts. I can get in my car. I can drive down the road as far as I want to go. And I say, oh, I'm praising the Lord. I put praise music on my stereo. You know, when my gas tank goes empty, I can pull into any gas station and watch. I can fill it up. Again, it's not a problem, right? It's going to take a couple minutes. But you know what? I realize sometimes I take those things for granted, and so can you. You know, about a year ago, things were different in New York and New Jersey. It was about, I believe it was October last year, when Hurricane Sandy slammed into their coastline. And everything that you and I take for granted, guess what? Disappeared for all of these folks. You know, many homes were destroyed, the electricity grid went offline, and many thousands were without power. You know, emergency supplies got less and less, and eventually disappeared. Even drinkable water was becoming scarce. There were a short supply of drinkable water. And gasoline? Oh, forget about it. Gas stations either ran out of gas, or if they had gas, they had no power to pump the gas. You know, long lines developed at many stations, and one woman, get this now, even ran out of gas while waiting in line to get gas. Can you imagine how long that line was? But some people even parked their cars in front of the stations and waited for the next tanker to arrive. They would be pretty desperate. I think you would be pretty desperate too if you wanted gasoline in a car. And this was very upsetting for a lot of people. You know, because they were used to just driving up to the pump. When we want to fill up, we just won't go to the pump. It's not a long way. And we fill up, and then, you know what? It's done. Well, they no longer have this privilege. And tempers started to rise, and this fight started to break out. I mean, they were pretty upset. Can you imagine? But, you know, most folks didn't know what they had what until it was gone. But then, you know what, there are other folks who knew what they had and what others needed. And guess what? They were willing to offer their help. But before you say, oh, so nice. No, they were willing to help for a price. Because you know what? The average price of gasoline in New York City is, at that time, was $3.95 per gallon. But with gas in such short supply, Craigslist started to have the following offerings. Go craziness. One ad offered 5 gallons of gasoline for $75, and they would deliver it for $90. That's $15 per gallon, and plus the $90. Another ad had 5 gallon jugs of gas for $100. That, who's a mathematician? Comes out to what? $20 per gallon. And still another ad offered 10 gallons for $300, and they say, oh, by the way, we'll give free delivery. Oh, how nice. That's $30 per gallon. And guess what? We come back to that saying. Sometimes you don't know what you got until it's gone. And you know, in Psalm 103, David starts out by praising God. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Because if we do forget any of God's benefits, if we do forget any of his blessings that he's given to us, you know what? We can end up being ungrateful. Start taking what we have for granted. You know, it's just like the woman who walked into a grocery store one day, it was before Thanksgiving Day, and she was very upset with the size of the turkeys that were left in the frozen section. She turned to the stock boy and she asked snippishly, don't these turkeys get any bigger? To which the stock boy calmly replied, no ma'am, they're dead. And you realize, you know, you think about it, this woman, you know, had more food in front of her than most third world countries would ever see. And yet, she grew angry. Why? Because what she saw wasn't good enough. What she saw was not big enough. And she had every intention of letting the stock go, okay, I'm not a happy camper right now. And you know, if we don't get in the habit of thanking God for what you do have, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start becoming ungrateful because of what you don't have. happens. As soon as you wake up in the morning, I try to go to God and say, Lord, thank you. All you've done is what you've given me. You know, back in 1988, a Polish railway worker named Jan Greski was hit by a train. You know what? He lived, but barely. Because for the next 19 years, until the year 2007, Greski was in a coma. And he awoke in 2007 to a whole new world. Guess, can you just guess what it was like? 19, 20 years later. Because 19 years later, Poland was a communist state. And Greski noted back then there was meat that was rationed. Meat could just go just anywhere. You know, they had to be rationed. Not everyone had meat. And there were huge lines at every gas station. And he noted there were only tea and vinegar in the shops. But 19 years later, he awoke to a free nation where he said, you know what? There were people on the streets with these little devices. It's what they call cell phones. Remember back in 1988, this huge, giant cell phone? That was a little tiny one, and some stuck in their ear, you know, that's the ones we have, you know. And he was saying, there's so many goods in the shops. It's making my head spin. There's so much great abundance everywhere. But you know what? Something puzzled. He said, what amazes me is that all these people who walk around with their mobile phones, and yet it seems like they're so busy, they're just moaning and they're groaning. And these people had freedom. They had freedom world greater than Poland could ever experience in decades. And yet, Greski, he woke from his coma to find that all he seemed to want to do is what? Grumble and mumble. And that's what can happen. You don't get in the habit of thanking God for what you do have. You soon become ungrateful for what you don't have. And sometimes you've got to thank God even for the little things. You know, like when you wake up, have you ever thanked God that we got a soft, comfortable bed to lay our head on? That we get to wake up and we know, you know, I can go to the restroom, I can brush my teeth, I can get ready for the day, I know I have a job, and all these things. We ever thank God for these things? Because we gotta get in the habit of being thankful if we're not always expressing it to God. And we do not forget what God has given us. So the question now is, so what kind of things has God given to you? The Bible tells us we should give thanks for what? Some things? No, all things. The Bible tells us here to give thanks to the Lord for all things. You know, the story is told of a Scottish preacher. His name is Alexander White. He was known as a man who was so thankful unto the Lord. And everything, you know, he was thankful for. He always found something thankful for unto the Lord. You know, but one Sunday morning when the weather was really gloomy, the skies were really dark, and the clouds were really gray, one church member thought to himself, oh, I know, the preacher, he'll come, he won't say anything to thank the Lord because it's a wretched day. Oh, he's not going to say anything to give thanks unto the Lord. But much to his surprise, however, when White began to pray, the pastor began to pray, he says, we thank thee, O God, for our days are not always like this. See, you can always find things to thank the Lord for. Because some people I know, they say, I've got nothing to thank the Lord for, Pastor. I don't know. I just don't seem like I want to thank Him, because it's not going the way I want it in my life right now. But you know what? If you continue like that, not thanking the Lord for what He already has blessed you. Sometimes we just gotta open our eyes and realize that I am truly blessed. Okay? And if you can go to the Lord, I tell you, if you are like that person, you say, I got nothing. Just praise God for it. Stop praising God. Start thanking Him. And just see what will happen in your life. Just see the blessing from heaven that will be showered on your life because you start thanking Him. And you start saying, Lord, thank you, God, for I know it comes from your hand. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says we should be thankful for all things. And let me raise up that question again. You know, I asked a few moments ago, what kind of things has God given to you? I want you to spend just a couple moments, just 15 seconds. I want you to think think of these three things that you can be thankful for. Just think, ask the Holy Spirit, what are you thankful for? I'll give you a few seconds. Three things that come to mind. Okay, I want you to share some of the things on your list. Now just yell it out. What are some of the things that you're thankful for? Just yell it out. Friends? Help?
Salvation.
Good. What else? That's a praise God. Praise God for you guys too. Praise God. Anything else? Children. Good. What else?
Friends?
Family? Praise God. Yes, friends. Why in the world? Good thing you said that. we're thankful for a lot of things, aren't we? And, you know, the thing about this is, you know, when we go to the Lord and express to Him all the things we are thankful for, you know, God, He speaks. And for the most part, you have answered like I would have, right? You know, thankful for tangible things like family, home, your job, church. And you know, as I look through Psalm 103, I notice that David wasn't thanking God for things he might be thankful for. Because not once in the entire Psalm does David ever speak of something tangible. And by tangible, I mean something that you can touch, you can hold or look at with your eyes. But not once in that entire Psalm do you ever hear David giving thanks for his family, his home, his possessions, his job. He doesn't say these things. But that's what I do if I would be giving thanks to God. I'd be giving thanks to God for my loved ones, for my home, my job, you know, this church. You know, I give thanks to Him for the very fact that I'm able to preach His word, that I'm in a position right now where I'm in pretty good health. And you know, I could go on and on and on and remember all the benefits that God has given to me. But David, he doesn't do it that way. And if you look at Psalm 103, what is he thankful for? Verses 3 to 6, look what he says about what he's thankful for. He's thankful that all his sins are forgiven, that all his diseases have been healed, that he has been redeemed from the pit, that God has crowned him with love and compassion, that God has satisfied his desires with good things so that his youth is renewed like the eagles. And the question that came to mind as I studied the Psalm was, why did David focus on these things rather than stuff that you and I are grateful for? And the conclusion I came to was that, you know, we cannot lose these things that David has mentioned. You know, the fact that we're forgiven of our sins, can we do that? No. We just say, Lord, forgive me, Lord, I like you. Can we take it away? And we realize God loves us, that's why He's forgiven us. And healed our diseases, and He redeemed us from the pit, and that He's crowned us with love and compassion. All these things people cannot take away. You know, I can lose my home, my church, you know, people that I care for, you know, my ability to preach, but you know what? I cannot lose the things that David wrote about in Psalm 103. And you know, he said the same thing. Guess where? The Sermon on the Mount. Look in your notes, Matthew 6, 19 to 21. It says here, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So David is telling us in Psalm 103 that his treasures are laid up where? In heaven. And what kind of treasures are David talking about? Well, David says that his greatest treasure is the very fact that God loves him and that God has compassion on him. And that's the one truth that has made all the difference for him. And David acknowledges that neither he nor the rest of us is worthy of God's love. We're not worthy. Did you know that? But God chose to love us. And that's how awesome the love of God is. And look what it says here in Psalm 103, 15 to 16. It says, our days are like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and this place remembers it no more. And if you kind of read that, teenager superhuman. They say, oh, I can live life however I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm just going to party, have a good time, and no one can tell me what to do. And they really did just get to that point where they think life is all about party. And they think because they're superhuman that, you know what, they don't need God because I can do it all myself. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And we got to realize, hey, we got to depend on God for things. And when we come to God with that kind of heart, a heart that grows greater and greater dependence on God, then God will fill you up with more things. Because your heart is humble before the Lord. Our heart must stay humble before God. Because if we start getting pride in, thinking that we're all that, guess what? You know, God's going to start show himself in ways you're not going to be so happy with. And I got to tell you, you've heard me say this before, sometimes God will not be humiliating. And you don't want that because I've been there. Where God showed me that, cut that out, don't let that fire. And I have experienced humiliation, but it was good because I was humbled in spirit afterwards. And I got it right with God. Amen. Because God, he knows how we're formed. And he was the one who formed us from the dust of the earth, the scripture tells us. And he remembers us that we are dust. And he formed us from this dust in his image. That's what the Bible says. We are formed in his image. Because the Bible tells you and I that we are a special creation by God. Yes, we are fragile and easily forgotten by this world, but God, he will never forget us. Never. He considers us prince of princes unto him. Because we put our faith in his son Jesus Christ. And we know as we continue to move towards God, God fills himself more and more with him. Psalm 103:4 says, he crowns you with love and compassion. He puts a crown of love and compassion on you, knowing that you are deeply loved. You know, someone once observed, God loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator, he would put a picture of you on it. Isn't that true? Because, you know, if you have children, you look at our refrigerator, it's covered with pictures. And sometimes people go, so where's your refrigerator? You're standing right in front of it. Because it's covered with pictures. Don't we do that? Because we're so proud of our children. We're so honored that God has blessed us. Such a great blessing. We just want to put out pictures of our family everywhere. And we're so thankful for God that he has blessed us with such wonderful families. Don't you think that's what we should do? And you know, God loves us so much that David says in Psalm 103:4, he says, he redeems your life from the pit. In Psalm 103:5 says, and he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Read the Bible, we see stories of men and women who have spent time in the pit. And sometimes being in the pit is not a comfortable place to be. Now, you don't want to be there, but Jeremiah the prophet, he was thrown into a little pit. It actually was a well because he was just preaching the word of God and he was telling people, repent, repent, and come to God. Yet they didn't want to hear. They got angry and threw him in the pit. He sank in the muck and the yuck up to his arm. And then remember Daniel, he was thrown into the pit. We know it as what? The lion's den. And then there was Joseph, whose brothers threw him into a pit with the intention of killing him. But then they changed their mind. And remember what happened? They sold him into slavery in Egypt. And these are little pits that God had rescued people from. But you know, there are other pits that weren't so little, but it's equally depressing. I'll give you an example. David, he spent several years running from King Saul. And can you imagine this? Going to work every day and your boss has a spear in his hand, ready to throw it at you. You're all trying to dodge the spear. Can you imagine how stressful the situation was for David? But that's what he had to go with. This was a pit for him. But he still showed up to work. He still played the harp for the king. And he did what he's supposed to do. Then you remember Moses, he spent 40 years in exile from Egypt. And then Ruth, she spent a number of years in great poverty. And each of these stories from these heroes and heroines of faith told how God reached down into those holes, those pits the people that were crying out to him, God showed himself calm. God put his hand in that hole and said, I am here, child. I am taking you out. I don't want you to stay in this pit. I am lifting you up. Because the scripture tells us the righteous shall cry out to God, and God will deliver them from their problems. That's what God does. And if you feel like you're in a hole, cry out to God. Because his hand is right here. He'll come and he'll pull you right out. And you better realize that that's how much God loves us. He will reach to us and will pull us out and put us on solid ground. And you know, sometimes people tell me, Pastor, you don't know what kind of pit I am in. It's so bad. I feel like I'm in a pit of kimchi. Ooh, that's not nice, you know? Because it burns, right? I mean, you know, the chili pepper and all that. Oh, man, I wouldn't want to be in a pit of, you know, chili pepper, kimchi. But you know what? Some people can be accused like that. So, you know what? God can pull you out of that too. And he'll wash you clean so you're not burning anymore. And you'll be washed and cleansed by our Father God. You must let him do that. You must cry out to him. But some people say, oh, he hasn't rescued me yet. And I say, have you cried out to him? Well, not yet. So we're going to use it right now. Cry out to him. And you just watch what God will do. And you know, David tells us that he is the one that will rescue us. He is the one that will pull us out of this pit. He'll do it for you. And he'll do it for me. Because he did it for people in the Bible. You know, several years ago, you know, a survey was conducted of people who prayed, and they found that 95% of these people that prayed, they felt that God had answered their prayer. 95%. That's pretty good. And they also said 95% of those who prayed believed that God would reach down into their pit and pull them up. 95%. That's great. And you realize, you know, some of them were probably not Christians. They probably were born in the creator God, and they did. They saw what God had done. And you know, they knew that God loved them that much. And we know how much God loves us. And that's why when David, he wrote Psalm 23, I got to tell you, you realize that he brings comfort to our soul. If you know Psalm 23, I mean, it's a powerful, powerful chapter where we can read it. You know what? It gives us peace. It gives us joy. Not just the hope that we know we have a better life here and now. No, we know it stretches out to eternity. That we forever in the presence of God. And you know, I've conducted funeral services where I use this Psalm 23. Okay, when I read it out loud, I just see the faces on the people. It's time to tear up some of them. Tears of joy. And they realize that we do have a God that is for us. A God that loves us so much. And I have this Psalm 23 in your notes. And I ask you just to read it with me. And as you read it, you just let the presence of God fill your heart, your soul, and your mind. Just read it together. Ready? Go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Just feel that peace. All that God promises us, he will do. The Bible says it will come to pass. If you believe in him, it will come to pass. And we know that God, he meets our physical needs on this planet earth. But just like David, we know that's not. We know that's not enough. Because Jesus says in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, you can be wealthy beyond your wildest dreams. You know, if you have a mansion or you have a castle, and, you know, a garage with 24 cars, you know, you can be as wealthy as you could ever imagine. You can tell me as a horse, and you would be wise as Solomon. But you know what?
It's slowly
more than that. Now, unless our sins are dealt with, we'll be cut off from God. That's what the Bible tells us. And unless our sins are forgiven, we'll never know the blessings of living eternally in heaven. And God says, forgive me. But you must confess. You must repent. And so David tells us, yes, God is willing to take care of that too. Because in Psalm 103:3, he says, he forgives all of your sins. In Psalm 103:10-12, he says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, our sins. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now that's an interesting comment if you think about it. Because can someone tell me how far it is from east to the west? Which is east, west? I don't even know, actually. But can someone tell me how far is it? What's that? Infinity? Okay, that's a good answer. Well, you know what, to really understand it, let's all pretend that we're going on a trip. Let's just say, you know, we catch a plane from here in Hawaii and we go nonstop to Nebraska. That's where I went to school. Right? If you know where Nebraska is, it's a right smack in the middle of all the United States. Smack in the middle of nowhere, that's what everyone used to say. We're in the middle of nowhere. But let's say we're in Nebraska, we hop on a bus and we head north until we reach, what, North Dakota. That's the most upper part of the United States, North Dakota. And then we stop for a few snacks and then we fill up the bus with gasoline and then we finally reach Canada. And after a few days, we reach the Arctic Circle. The question is, how far north can we go until we're not going north anymore? Who knows the answer to that question? Come on, someone ask me. As soon as we what? Yeah. As soon as we hit the North Pole. Because we hit the North Pole, everything after that, from that point on, is south. Did you know that? That's what it is. Well, you learned something new today. I didn't know that too until I did the research. But let's change that right now. Let's change it. Let's say we take a trip as far west as we can from Hawaii. Okay? And we get in the plane, you know what the first place, who knows what the first place we would be? Anyone know? I had to look in the globe. I didn't know the answer to this. I had to look in the globe. Where's the first place we would go to if we were to fly from Hawaii?
Philippines!
Brother, you got it. We would go to Philippines, then to Thailand, and then to India. Let's just say we stop in India, then we get on the plane, and we say, okay, we're just going to go west until, you know, we keep on going until something changes. Question is, how long can we travel before we stop going west? Anyone know the answer to that? We cannot. We'll keep on going as long as we can keep on going and going and going and going and going and going. We'll keep on going west. There's no stop point. I want you to understand this. This is something you must understand because we'll keep on going west. And this is how far the east is from the west. Because think about it. Why didn't God say that he will remove our sins as far as the north is from the south? We could have said that, right? But did he say that? No. Why did he say that? Because if he did, he would be telling us there is a point at which he would stop forgiving us. Because remember, when you hit the North Pole, it becomes south. Think about that for a second. And we realize, you know, God loves us. He cares for us so much. He's wanting always to forgive us. He's not going to stop forgiving. But you must confess of your sins. You must do it. And God said, I'm not going to stop with you. Because I heard people tell me, you know, I think God is just fed up with me. He's going to stop forgiving me. I said, no. Not according to what the scriptures tell us. No, he's going to keep loving us. You must just come to him. You just must come to him with your heart. Say, Lord, I want to make it right. He cares for us so much, he'll never reach that point. Because when he forgives us, he removes our sins. That's what the scripture tells us. He will help us.
He will remove it as far as the east is from the west, and he will remember them no more. You better realize, if you're struggling with a sin, God says, I am going to help you. Because a lot of times people say, oh, this is too hard, Pastor. I can't help myself. And I say to this person, you ever ask God for help? No, God, he wants me to do it. It's my flesh. I got to do it. I have to do whatever it takes. I said, no, it's God. God says, I will help you. He will give you the strength. He will give you his power. He will give you his grace to say, child, you're going to defeat this because I will defeat you. As we say, yes, Lord. You just watch and see. I got to tell you, one piece, I was preaching a message that was similar to this in the park. And one guy, he started bawling after the service, was crying to me. He said, Pastor, my brother, he says, I just heard what you said. I got a friend. He took out his flask and it was this guy. It smelled of his. And he says, I don't like this. This thing has ruined my life. I lost my kids, my family. Because of this, I don't want to get rid of this. I said, okay, give it to me. Take it from him. I said, go like this. Use that. And I looked right at him. I remember the Holy Spirit killed me. Father, you were set free. You don't want this. God says, no more. You're victorious in Christ. God has set you free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He goes, really? You better believe it, my God. So, no more. Ask him to clean up your life and choose the life. That's what it takes. You must go to God like that. And say, Lord, I want to be free. Just watch what God will do. Because that is the God that we serve. He loves us so much. Not only is he willing to meet our physical needs, brothers and sisters, he was willing to sacrifice his only one begotten Son so that we will not perish, but we may have everlasting life. That is for all of us who believe. But you know, there are some people in the world that don't want to know Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be their Savior. There are people in this world who believe that their goal in life is to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And you may think, oh, that's not so bad. But you know what? The problem is just the only thing they want. And it's all for themselves. And you know, and they believe, you know, if they die at the ripe old age of 100, you know, it's all good. As long as it's all about me, that I can live life to the fullest. I don't have to be putting my mind, my heart, and my good people. It's all about me. You know, Jesus doesn't fit into an equation like this. We know as believers, Jesus has been the center. Jesus directs us where we are to go, what we are to do, how we can help others. We want to live this kind of loving life that God has for us. It has to stop about being me, myself, and God. It must be all about me. It must be all about people around us. Then God can truly heal you up. Amen. And you know, these folks, they tend to look at others who hasn't reached these goals or can't attain these goals. And they think, oh, you're so poor. You know, they're so underprivileged. And you know, I gotta tell you, several years ago, my brother, he's a pastor in Texas. And you know, he had a team from his church. And they decided to have a short-term mission trip to Haiti. And you know, when they arrived, they were so shocked at the extreme poverty in which the people were living. Because most of the people have so little in the way as of personal property. And it's a privilege for some of them. You know, another kind of mission is too. If somebody had a suitcase, oh man, they would say, oh, you're so blessed. Wow, look at you. Wow, you got a suitcase. And because he can store the things in it, right? And you know, poor homes are generally broken down huts, you know, made of sometimes cardboard paper or rotten wood, you know, and it's smaller than the small bedrooms that we have in our home. And you know, there's so little food to go around and so little work that even if you wanted to work, you couldn't. I mean, there wasn't enough for anything to go around. And even those who have this goal, it's all about health, wealth, and wisdom and all this, you know, they look upon these people in faith with pity. They said, oh, miserable.
know, I remember I was reading about this article of a U.S. pastor who administered there in Haiti. You know, he met up with a Haitian minister, evangelist. And this evangelist told him, he says to the pastor, the U.S. pastor, he says, there are people in this world that say there are poor people here. But you know what? No one is poor who has Jesus. Think about it. If you have Jesus in your heart, you are richly and abundantly blessed. Because you have the Master, Lord God, and King of the universe being concerned about you. He says, I collect all your tears and muscles. I know the number of your tears on your head. He is concerned with every single detail of your life. That's how much he loves us. We are truly richly blessed. We must come and bless the Lord, my soul, and pray for your blessings. We must go to Him and just continually express this to Him. Because, you know, that's what it's all about. When you can see this and really mean it, oh, God will let His blessings flow. Because, yeah, though they may be poor by the world standard, you know, they were cheerful and smiling. The pastor said, it's unbelievable. You know, they have so little that they're running around with big smiles on their face. Look so happy. And you knew that they loved Jesus and that Jesus loved them. You can see it on their face. You can experience the presence of God upon them. And I got to tell you, as you probably all know earlier this week, what happened? The U.S. government decided to have a shutdown, right? Because Congress couldn't come up with an agreement on key issues. And if you remember the headline, you guys have the star advertising. You see, Uncle Sam, holding a sign, what does it say? Sorry, the bird goes. And you kind of look at that, oh, how can they shut down? How can that be? And you know, because of this shutdown, many people are temporarily out of work. And you know, many federal programs, funded programs are shut down. Their doors are shut. They say, oh, no, they're sorry. Maybe come back when we decide to open again. And you know, a lot of families who depend on the income of federal workers, you know, I mean, they're realizing that they don't know what they got. Until now, it's gone. And they're thinking, oh, how can we manage? You know, some people think, oh, when is it going to end? How long will this last? But you know, I'm thinking that. That we have a Father God who never uses a sign like this. Instead, we have a Father God who has a sign like this. And then, He says, we're always open. So it's just an open door for Christian ministry. We're always open to whatever you need, whatever prayer you need. You know, we're open to God. Because God says, I never close. You need something? Ask me, child. I never close. I will be the supplier of your every single need, God says. God tells us in His word, whatever He owns. Guess who inherits it? We do. Praise God. We do. I'm sorry. God says, because you believe in me, be trusting me, I will amply supply for all of your needs. You know, earlier in the week I talked with a brother. You know, he was temporarily laid off because of this government shutdown. And I remember just talking with him. You could never tell that he was laid off, that he was worried or anxious, because you know what? He knows our Father in God's door is our Lord. He tells me, Pastor, I'm not worried. Oh, God supplied all my needs. I know God is for me. His door is always open for me. His benefits are for me. You know, he helped us, you know, he needs to move a lot of things. I gotta just tell you, this is my brother Jimmy, my brother, who loves God's prayer. I know God is so faithful to the Lord. He's praying and willing to serve the Lord. Whatever he asks, I know.
is my family.
But you know what? It doesn't stop there. Please, I've got a chance here.
He knew I was talking about him. He called me up at 7:30. Pastor, I gotta call you, but I gotta tell you something. My boss just called me. I'm going back to work Monday.
Praise God. God, isn't he so good, brother?
Amen.
Isn't he good? Isn't he awesome? Isn't he wonderful?
Yes. That's what God does.
Yes.
And if you keep on unloading his benefits on you, as you keep on believing, as you keep on trusting this ample supply of all that he has. Because, by the way, what does God want? Everything. God says it's for you. We just simply say, thank you. Bless the Lord for my soul. Can we just say that if you really need it right now, say, bless the Lord for my soul. Ready? Go. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's give a clap for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are we doing with our hearts? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken, Lord, today. I know you spoke to me. And I just pray that whatever my brothers and sisters are going through right now, as long as they realize, oh, that you are our supplier, you are our comforter, you are the one that provides for all our needs. I know, Father God, we never have to come to a point of worry or anxiety, because, Lord, you are the one that will give us all we need to live a life that is truly good for us. And Father God, will you help us to remember, Lord, that all that we have comes from you? Because sometimes we really don't know what we got until this time. And we don't want to wait to that time when it's gone, and then we realize, oh man, I was truly blessed. No, we want to say, Lord, I am truly blessed at all times. No matter if I have little or I have much, I am truly blessed by the one and true living God that loves me so much. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize now that, you know, I haven't been as grateful as I should be. That I really haven't thanked the Lord. I can't even remember the last time I thanked the Lord for whatever it is. But you're saying, I'm going to make sure that my heart will be a heart of gratefulness. That I'll always thank the Lord for whatever he has given. And with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, I'm going to just go to the Lord with my whole life and just thank him. And I know I will watch his blessings come forth in my life. And if that's you, can you raise your hand to me? Yes, that's me. I want the Lord to let his blessings flow. I want him to show me how much I am truly blessed. Praise God. Anyone? Anyone else? Just raise your hand up high and say, Lord, I'm ready to receive from you. I don't have to look to man. I'll look to you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Can you put your hands down? Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we pray? Father God, you've seen other hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. You're saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I haven't been grateful for what you have given me. Sometimes I complain, sometimes I grumble, but no more. Whatever you give me, Lord, I will be thankful for. And I know, Lord, it comes from your hand. So I know as I stop the complaining, I stop the grumbling, your blessings will flow and flow mightily into my life. Praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. You surrender all of us, all of me, unto you, unto the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus' name. Now for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer. I'm going to pray this prayer in just a minute or so. And if you are wanting and desiring to
be a part of the family of God.
When you say this prayer and you mean it, you know that God's going to welcome you.
He's going to welcome you immediately.
If you are saying, yes, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
The Bible says, don't be late, because God wants to bless you right now. Today is the day of salvation. And God says, I want you now, child, because I want my blessings to start flowing in your life.
But you must come to me first, and you must surrender your life to me. The Holy Spirit is coming at your heart, oh please, brothers and sisters, don't resist me, because He's doing it out of love for you. If you're ready, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You're saying yes to Jesus. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah.
Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise you, Lord. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Put your hands down.
Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Let's pray together as a family. Let's all pray this, knowing we're declaring our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's repeat after me for those of you that raise your hand. Pray it like you mean it. Pray it from your gut. Pray it from your belly. Let's cry out to God. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. And I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen.